As things begin to start opening up, because, you know, vaccines and all, I've been seeing a ton of posts for new jobs, especially in the design space, because it's what I'm subscribed to, because I'm a designer and stuff. Anyway, it makes me optimistic of, like, the opportunity that's out there, and reminds me of the time when I was applying to my first design jobs. So for this one, I want to go ahead and share what that was like, hunting for a job. Once I was done, quote unquote, with my boot camp. Everyone's job search is different, and so this is my particular experience of navigating that world. And there are probably going to be points that anyone can take away when it comes to just applying to jobs overall, but of course there are going to be particularly specific points that pertain to the design industry. But like I said, everyone's search is very different, and I don't want to say that because I did these things or this is the way to do it. Because there's only so much a person can control when it comes to the job experience or job searching experience. And these just happen to be the things that I did or noticed or realized while I was going through it all. If you haven't heard, job searching is a lot like dating, right? There is this dynamic between two, you could say, entities. You and the companies that you're applying for. There's a lot of vulnerability involved too, because jobs are, you know, very integral to our lives. It's how we, you know, spend most of our days. They are what pay us so that we can pay our bills and, you know, save for retirement, all these different things. There's just a lot of dynamics and considerations a person has to take when they're applying to jobs. Like, when you're dating and figuring out who you want to date and be with. But like in dating and job hunting, you only requires one person to say yes, right? You only need that one company to say yes to let you into the door. Especially, you know, as new people, a lot of career shifters or new graduates coming from like college or boot camps, it seems kind of cyclical, right? Like, you need the experience to get the job, but companies won't hire you because you don't have the experience. So just remember that it really only takes one person or one company to say yes. So while you're applying to different jobs, waiting for those conversations to begin, waiting for that one company to give you that opportunity and say yes, there's one thing I want you to keep in mind is the person that can say yes to you the most or be your biggest advocate is yourself. And what I mean by that is when you're in the marketplace, when you've put yourself out there in the marketplace, what ways can you stand out amongst the crowd? And that's something that I was thinking about a lot. And I think that's what really helped me when I was applying to jobs and putting my portfolio together. Honestly, I attended a boot camp, right? And I had my boot camp project, but I also had other projects on there as well that weren't necessarily tied to the boot camp. I did freelance work, you know, working with small startups, budding startups. I would do design challenges just to, you know, get my juices flowing so I wouldn't get rusty and just continuing to practice every day. Another one that I think is really helpful or has helped me was doing hackathons and going out there. It's a great way to network, get to know people, and it's a way to get an opportunity to apply your skills in a specific amount of time while working with others, you know, getting that teamwork and that collaboration experience. I remember, like, while I was doing interviews, I was able to speak on that collaboration experience I had while I was doing hackathons. And then, you know, lastly, there are personal projects that you can work on, right? If you don't have the internship, or if you didn't have the previous experience necessarily to like put in your resume or portfolio or whatever, sometimes it's up to you to create your own experience. And so that's what I mean by like personal projects. Like, what are some problems you're trying to solve in the world? How are you putting yourself out there to just think about design and how you would apply your design process to something that you're interested in? I think those are just some examples of ways to stand out. And what I mean by stand out is right now within the industry, I think there is a lot of young talent. And what I mean by young talent is not just like age-wise, but experience-wise when it comes to the world of design. And because there's so many learning opportunities and classes and boot camps and courses and all these different things that people can take, you know, they're all teaching design, they're all teaching the process. But at the end of the day, a lot of the feedback that I'm hearing and a lot of the stuff that I hear within the realm of design world is that all these pieces of portfolios and resumes are looking the same, right? There is this templated portfolio that when you look at it, people are like, that person's from a boot camp, and it looks like they can apply design in a very academic way, but can they apply design or, you know, go about their process in the real world? So if you're working in situations like freelance projects or hackathons or, you know, personal projects outside of like academia per se, whether it's college or bootcamp, it gives that perspective of, oh, this person is thinking outside of the scope of their course or class or whatever form of education that person is going through. The first time that I really was applying to design jobs was, you know, actually right out of college, because that's when I knew, hey, I actually want to go into the world of design. And the contrast of, you could say, struggle was very stark between the first time and the second time. So the first time out of college, you know, my experience was a little chaotic. I dabbled in a lot of various things, but didn't really have very much depth in much. I was fortunate though to get an internship with a startup, and I think going through that internship and then converting to full-time really helped me, you know, transition into that second phase of applying to design jobs, more particularly UI UX jobs, which was like my main goal. So when I first started applying to jobs in, you know, after college, it was really any job that said the word design. I tried to apply to UI UX jobs or product design jobs, and that totally did not work because I just did not have the experience, or I just didn't have the experience for it then. And, you know, the most experience I really had at that point was mostly like brand graphic design. So, you know, I started to realize, okay, this is the experience that I have, and shifted my approach. And so I was like, okay, let me just, you know, again, get experience in design, regardless of what form it is, whether it's graphic design or whatnot, and see where that takes me there. Or it gives me the experience so that I can take some more time to really get into that second phase. When I went into that second phase of applying to design jobs, or more particularly UI UX design jobs, it took me about 2 months total, 2 to 3 months total of me applying from the start and going all the way to like finally accepting an offer to get a design job. And I know, again, everyone has a very different experience. Some people take 6 months, some people it takes 5 months, I don't know, it takes a year. The time frames are very different. But the reason I think that I was able to get or find a job within, I guess, a shorter period of time is because it took me a longer period of time to set myself up to get there. So I would honestly say that it took me about a good year and a half within that time frame to get to a place where I could really position myself to apply to UIUX positions. I think the biggest difference was not just only like the ability to gain experience and put myself in situations to get more experience or like put myself out there, but is I had a plan and was very intentional when going about applying for these jobs. The first time around, again, right after college, when I was applying to things, it was a lot of out of desperation of like, I need a job out of college so I can, you know, make an income, pay bills, and just start getting experience so that I can get, you know, other jobs and things like that. So it was very, you know, chaotic, kind of sporadic, and there wasn't much of a plan. And I was just lucky to land what I was able to land. The second time around, I had Google Docs, spreadsheets, folders, you name it, of all the things that I would need going into this job hunting experience. And personally, I think that kept a lot of my sanity just because I was able to really like analyze and figure out and create next steps or of what I needed to do depending on how things went. I created a job tracker template, first of all, because that helped me keep track of all the places that I applied for. You know, I was able to jot down what the position was called, the company, the link to where I found it, any notes. I was also able to keep track of like, when was the last time I was contacted by anyone or spoke to anyone? What day did I apply? All these different things. And, you know, with all that information, I was able to start setting like a cadence for myself. So let's say there was a job that I applied for and I realized, you know, I really want to work for this company. Let me see who I can reach out to and talk to see if I can get more information about the role. And so, you know, that was a place, this tracker that I used, I was able to, you know, find different people that I could talk to and begin to document like, okay, when was the last time I spoke with them? I spoke with them on this day. So here on this day, maybe like a week or a half later or something, I can reach back out if I hear nothing from them after reaching out, maybe another time and maybe a third time if I was really pushing it. And then, you know, after a certain amount of time, you can only reach out to people so often. But again, that gives me an idea of like, okay, this is what the waters feel like for this company or how this role or pursuing this role is going to be like. So it's a little bit more ghosty. Am I really not just going to hear much, or is this going to be a more interactive company where like, okay, they're telling me no, they're rejecting me because that's part of the process, or, you know, if a recruiter is reaching out, or if I've talked to someone who works at the company. The second most important thing that I had going through all of this were templates for days, meaning I had a template for a cover letter and I had templates for my resume. So what that let me do was create a more streamlined way to apply to jobs. And this is what I mean, in that my cover letter had a general outline, you know, for it, but then I could adjust and tweak it and, you know, make certain changes to it depending on the job that I was applying to. So, you know, if a job asked for a specific skill or experience, or they had like a specific question in their like application, I could address it, but at least have a starting point. Like, I wasn't restarting and rewriting a new cover letter every single time. I was able to build off of a foundation and a base and, you know, write and adjust based on the application that I was applying for. Second is resume. So customizing your resume to the job application is really helpful. And, you know, it might sound like a lot. You're like, how can I make so many different resumes for all these different jobs? Well, you create a template. And the first way you do that is you first create this master template, or like a main resume or master resume, in that this is a document that has a list of all your experience for everything and anything that you've ever done, from like volunteering opportunities, awards you've won, your list of skills, any previous jobs, if you worked in like other areas, careers, business sectors, whatever. It's the history of your job and career. And so what that allows you to do is have this base, because you've technically already written all of that out. So when you're creating a new resume for a specific application, you're literally just dragging, dropping, copying, pasting these specific roles to fit what's being asked. Now that you have that specific resume for that specific job application, all you got to do is make some tweaks and edits here to the descriptions of the jobs that you had to align with what the application or the job description is asking for. Applying to jobs is a whole hoopla of a thing, and then especially in the world of design, not only do you have to prepare your resumes and cover letters, you also have the portfolio, or your portfolio and your case studies that you have to present to, you know, companies or submit to companies. So put yourself in a situation where you don't have to, you know, quote unquote, redo things all the time, like your resume or your cover letter. Systemize that process. Get yourself a foundation and a base, and then adjust accordingly depending on the job that you're going for. Another really big thing that I found really helpful when applying to jobs was reaching out to recruiters for the companies that I was applying to. So what I would do is I would apply through like the website, portal, Greenhouse, whatever system the company used. And after I applied, I would reach out to the recruiter or recruiter that I could find associated with the company and send them a message just introducing myself and asking if they had more information about the job. I definitely had LinkedIn Premium at the time because I wanted the ability to apply to, ability to mail, email, or message people even if I couldn't because they're like outside of my network. Another great way to use LinkedIn or connect or just figure out like more about a job is reaching out to associates of the company and of the team you'd potentially work on, meaning finding other designers, maybe just designers, maybe senior designers, to talk to and ask about the role, the company, the culture, and all these different things. I suggest reaching out to associates more so than hiring managers, because, you know, hiring managers have a tendency to be, you know, busier. They're in leadership roles, things like that. I don't know. I've also experienced that, like, when someone has reached out to me looking for a job, I was able to actually say to the hiring manager, hey, this person reached out to me and I think they are a good candidate to consider. And it, to the hiring manager, because I actually have that like relationship, it's not really a referral, more of a hey, kind of a, this person took the time out of their day to talk to me to ask about this job, this is someone to consider. So again, associates of companies can be great people to talk to and reach out to look for jobs. Now, let's say you get that email or that phone call to get your initial foot in the door for a company. You know, they finally looked at your resume. They think your portfolio is great. Now we're getting into the interviewing side of things. And what I think was super important, and it actually helped me a ton, is know your stuff. And not just as a designer, know your stuff in design. I'm saying know your stuff and research the company, learn about the culture, do your research when it comes to like salary for the job, what that salary range looks like for that particular role you're looking at, and, you know, the level of experience that you have. You don't want to go into an interview looking like you don't really know what's going on or really have much to say. That really shows a lot of disinterest and that, you know, you're not really standing up for yourself, especially when it comes to like salary and benefits and all these different things, which I think is like so important when you're going into the interviewing process, especially. When you're able to go into the interviewing process knowing information about the company, having questions for the people who are interviewing you, because again, getting a job or interviewing or doing all this stuff is very similar to dating. You want to know as much about them as they want to know about you. So go in confidently, know your stuff, have information so that it's a conversation versus them talking at you. Another piece that I also think is really beneficial, especially if you're going into product design or UI UX design, is if you're working with in digital products, you should download the product that the company offers and start using it. Go through it like you're a customer, take notes, and just have that information there with you as you go into the interview process. Get familiar with their product, because again, that will show your interest, your knowledge, and your ability to, you know, analyze their product. It may or may not come up in the conversation depending on like how the interview or conversation goes, but it will not hurt you to understand their product and how it works. From my experience of going through the interviewing process, it's pretty much about a 3 to 4 phased experience. So the first phase is that you'll usually get an email from the recruiter that will set up a time with you to, you know, on a phone call or a very quick Zoom call these days, just going over the role, the company, the team, very high level stuff. They'll ask you, most likely ask you, what are you thinking when it comes to salary? For me, I like to give a very, you know, hefty range of like, this is what I'm considering for a salary. And this is what I mean by like, when you're going into these interviews, have your information ready of what you want and what your expectations are, so that when you're faced with these kind of questions, you're not like, oh, I don't know, or you're not really sure of the answer, or you undersell yourself on accident. That's a side note, but that's why that information is really important. So once that conversation with the recruiter, you know, is finished and it went well, the recruiter will then set up a time with the hiring manager. And so the hiring manager is usually like a product design lead or UI UX lead or the director of a team. And they'll call you for like about a 30 or 40 minute call. And this is where they really start getting into like your experience. You may talk about a portfolio piece or a case study, give a high level brief introduction and like how you went about that project. They'll ask about like, you know, your experience working on a product team, collaborating with project managers or developers. Some really general questions of like just design experience that you may have or your experience in general. And then once that conversation is finished and if the hiring manager is like, okay, I can see this person as a candidate, the third phase that usually happens is you'll talk, well, so it depends. But this is the part where it gets into the more design challenge-y, whiteboarding challenge-esque kind of things. So some companies will ask you to come in to, you know, well, pre-COVID and probably now because we're getting to the more open phases of society, where you'll come into the office or, you know, set up a Zoom call or something with a couple of people, in that you'll have a conversation with the like design team. So there may be two designers and then the hiring manager, and you may go through a design whiteboarding challenge like the day of in the office, or after your call with the hiring manager, you will get like a brief for a design challenge that you will complete, like, I don't know, within the brief that they give you. And then they'll set up a time for you to come in and present what you worked on. And then you'll also just get to meet the team and then talk about like design team dynamics and just, you know, getting a better understanding of like team culture and design experience and things like that. So that's what that like third phase. And then usually, you know, it depends. I've had this happen in different ways, and I've seen it happen in different ways where the final like phase is mostly like a culture fit kind of thing, where you may talk to like a project manager or developer, or, you know, someone that's not on the design team, just to, you know, gauge and see how, if you would work well with the team and things like that. And then after that, you know, the recruiter is your point of contact, and that is who will tell you whether or not you get the job offer. Remember to follow up with their hiring manager or at least someone on the design team and saying thank you for their time. Again, this is a point of peace where you can stand out amongst the crowd. I think it's always really nice to be able to, you know, just follow up. A lot of times people don't follow up, and when you don't follow up, then it's a missed chance to, again, stand out. Talking about jobs and applying to jobs, there's always so much to talk about. That's why this episode was a bit of a hefty one, but I think from like a overview perspective, if you had to narrow it down, have a plan, have templates, have a job tracker so that you can keep track of everything and streamline the experience so that it's not as overwhelming for yourself. Do your research, know how to talk about the company and the project that you've done, especially if you're in the world of design. I think I want to do another episode when it comes to like portfolio. I realized I didn't talk as much specifically for like design related jobs, but you know, overall it's very similar to most jobs. The only thing is like you have a portfolio, and then you're going to have design challenges and like whiteboarding challenges that you need to do. And we can talk about that on another day. But again, do your research, know how to talk about the company, and know how to talk about your own work. And don't forget to advocate for yourself. I know especially that if you're new to the industry and you're really just trying to get your first experience or get that yes, it can seem really appealing to just go with whatever the company says. But understand that if a company is interested in you and offers you a job and offers you money, that means they want you. That means they've gone through other candidates and are like, we don't want to go with these other candidates. We want to go with you. So again, advocate for yourself. Make sure that they're meeting your salary expectations or benefit expectations, and that, you know, you have the ability to negotiate and have that conversation. And lastly, be memorable. You know, follow up, say thank you at the end of interviews when you get the chance. Before you even get into the interview, set yourself up to be memorable, you know, stand out. How did your project stand out? Does it follow the normal templated boot camp experience that's out there a lot? Are you doing other things right now in the industry to make yourself different from the other candidates out there? I know some people will write Medium articles. Other people make YouTube videos. Some people make podcasts. I don't know. But anyway, you don't have to do those things, but just think about, okay, if I am a candidate within this large pool of other candidates, how can I stand out? Right? Because remember, it only takes one person to say yes. I know applying to jobs is not an easy process, and there's definitely going to be ups and downs, rejections, and ghostings. So remember this too, you only have control over so much. So take control over those things that you do have the ability to have control in, and put your best effort in that. And all that other stuff that's from the company, the bad practices of companies, you can't do much about that, right? So you do you, keep on trucking, and you got this. Thanks for listening, y'all. I hope you were able to get some good old tidbits from this episode. Whether you are thinking about applying to jobs, whether you are in the process of applying to jobs, or if you're like, you know, I'm about to start applying to jobs in the design industry and just wanted to get like a quick insight into what that would look like. If you, you know, want to talk about it some more, you can find me on other places in the interwebs on Twitter at xmusings or Instagram at externalmusings. Other than that, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will chat with y'all next time.